Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's the first passage we're going to look at as we continue our study this hour on the subject of zeal and being zealous for good works, taking that title for this series from the last phrase of Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. We have identified what zeal is, and we know that we are to be zealous for good works, a very good and very important work is that of encouraging and building up our brethren. And that's what we're going to talk about in our time slot this morning. A very important work for us as Christians to be involved in, to be channeling our zeal and our encouragement toward, is that of encouraging one another. I want to use 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 from the English Standard Version as a text for us to look at as we're getting started with our study. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. As we take a look at this verse and we begin to examine it, we'll start with the first word is therefore. And to those of us who are younger, I want to tell you, as I remind all of us, when you're reading the Bible and you encounter the word therefore, you need to stop and you need to look up above it and see what it's there for. The word therefore is indicating that a conclusion is being made based on what has been said. What has been said up to this point, if we go up to verse 1, the Apostle Paul is talking about the Lord's return. The Lord is going to come back, and when he comes, he's going to bring wrath upon those who are not ready, and he's going to bring a reward upon those who are ready. Therefore, we'd better be ready. You look down in verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, because this great reward is there, because we don't want to miss it, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So we're talking about our eternal souls. We're talking about where our souls will spend eternity. We are to encourage one another. That word encourage is translated from a Greek word that literally means to call to one's side. That is, you see someone who is discouraged and you go to their side in an effort to encourage them. You go to their side in an effort to help them, to be there with them, and to help them along the way, to pursue some course of conduct. So we need to encourage one another, and we need to build one another up, or the word edify would fit very well. The Greek word here would have been a carpenter's word. Would have been a constructor's word. It literally meant to build or to construct, but obviously here it has a spiritual meaning behind it. And it means to edify or to build one up, to promote spiritual growth among Christians. W.E. Vines in his lexicon says that this Greek word means promoting the spiritual growth and development of character of believers. By teaching or by example, suggesting such spiritual progress is the result of patient labor. It's a marathon. We're in it for the long haul, and sometimes we get discouraged as we're going along the way, so we need to be watching out for those that need that encouragement. And when we find them, we need to be ready to go to their side and to help them up and to encourage them to continue on. This is a good work. This is an important work that has been given to us as Christians to do. When we study the work of the church, we know that the Lord has given the local church three primary works to be involved in: evangelism, edification, and benevolence. In our studies the last few weeks, we've noted that the individual members of the early church were very zealous about the work of evangelism, weren't they? The word went everywhere. The members took it and preached it everywhere that they went. We saw last week they were very zealous about the work of benevolence, weren't they? They helped those who were in need. What we're going to see today is that the early church was very zealous. The members of the early church were very zealous about the work of edification. And this involvement in this work began almost immediately. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it's there that we read that 3,000 were added to them that day. As many as gladly received the word were baptized, 3,000 were added to the 120. So the church has just begun. And immediately we see that they are continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. They're immediately devoted to receiving the teaching from the apostles. This is the teaching that will build them up. Acts 20, verse 32, the apostle Paul tells the Ephesian elders, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified or those who are saved. It's God's word that builds us up. It's God's word that edifies us. They were immediately devoted to receiving that teaching from the apostles. That's zeal. That's zeal. But I want us to focus on one Christian, one member of the early church, and that is Barnabas. If we're going to talk about edifying others, if we're going to talk about encouraging others, we've got to talk about Barnabas. So let's turn to the book of Acts. Barnabas is introduced to us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, and it's here that he gets his name, Barnabas. That's not what his parents called him. His parents named him Joseph or Joseph. But it was the apostles who gave him the name Barnabas. Now, this is in the context of these Christians in their church in Jerusalem who were selling their property and selling their houses and bringing the proceeds and giving them to the apostles to be distributed to those who had need. Talked about that last week. Well, it's here in this context that Barnabas is introduced to us. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here we are introduced to Barnabas as one who is very generous, one who is very caring, one who is helping others, and he receives the name from the apostles, son of encouragement. Now, that's impressive enough. That's impressive enough, but I want us to understand this is a man who is standing out to the apostles in a congregation of over 3,000 people. The last number we were given was chapter 2, verse 41 says 3,000 were added to them. But then at the end of chapter 2, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So this church is growing every day. That's an enormous group of people. But still yet, Barnabas is so good at encouraging that he stands out above all of them. And the apostles say, that's our son of encouragement. When we talk about encouragement, yes, we need to go to Barnabas because he stood out even to the apostles in a group of over 3,000 as a man who excelled at encouraging other people. As we look and study about Barnabas in the book of Acts, we know that he encouraged entire congregations. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, when the gospel begins to spread outside of Jerusalem, because of the persecution, it goes into Judea, it goes into Samaria, and it's taken even further north than that. Acts chapter 11, verse 19, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Here's a new church planted way up there. What does a new church need? New converts need encouragement. We've got just the man for the job. Let's send Barnabas up there. And so Barnabas is sent. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all. He got right to work, didn't he? Encourage them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. What happened? Here's a church. The son of encouragement gets there. He encourages them, and immediately what happens? They grow. They grow. You know, we want to see the church grow. We want to see the church grow, and sometimes in our zeal for church growth, we overlook edification and focus just on evangelism. But this passage is telling us that if we want to grow, let's make sure we're edifying ourselves. Let's make sure we're building ourselves up. Because if we're not building ourselves up, there's no reason to bring anyone into it. No, we need to be encouraged. We need to be built up as a congregation. Then we're going to grow. Verse 25, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So he was able to encourage that church in Antioch. On the first missionary journey, when Paul and Barnabas established churches, that at the end of that journey, they went back through and revisited those churches they just established. Chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So Barnabas was involved in encouraging, not just establishing these churches, but encouraging these churches and building them up. And this was done most likely primarily through preaching. Barnabas went to Antioch and he preached the word there. He and Paul went, established these churches and preached the word there. Now we're talking about all of us being involved in the work of encouraging others in edification. You may be sitting there saying, "I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher. This isn't for me." Well, that's not all that Barnabas did. Let's look. Not only did he encourage congregations, but Barnabas also encouraged individuals. Back in Acts chapter 9, when Saul of Tarsus has just been converted, he returns to Jerusalem for the first time as a Christian, tries to join the disciples there, and they're not having any of it. Look here in chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus and in the name of Jesus. Remember that idea of edify? Remember that idea of encourage? To come to the side of one, to call to the side of one? Here was a man who desperately needed help. Barnabas saw that and said, "I'm going to help him." And he went to him. He went to his side and he vouched for him. And he encouraged him. Not only did he do that for Paul, because Saul becomes Paul, but he also did it one time for someone that Paul refused to accept. In Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas have completed their first missionary journey, and they took Barnabas' cousin, John Mark, with them, but he left halfway through the journey. He didn't stay with them. Now, in verse 36, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And that's the last we read of Barnabas in the book of Acts. But what is he doing? He's going to the side of John Mark and standing up for him and saying, "Yes, I can use you. Let's go to work." What do we see in Barnabas? We see a man who encouraged others. So much so that he stood out to the apostles, and the apostles gave him that name, Son of Encouragement. He could encourage congregations, but he also had a knack of encouraging individuals. He's a great example for us to follow. I want us to consider, in the few minutes we have left, some practical things that you and I can be doing right here to encourage our brethren, to encourage, to come to the side of and to build up and to edify one another. Well, right off the bat, we could say we're building up one another, we're encouraging one another when we set a good example, when we live right, and when we're singing our songs in our assemblies, we're teaching and admonishing one another. So yes, we're involved in the work of edification in that. I think that's obvious. I know who I'm talking to. And we all understand this. And I think we can be challenged beyond this. It's obviously we need to be living right. Obviously, we don't need to be doing things that discourage our brethren. We need to be very careful about the things we put out on social media. We need to be very careful of the things that we say, the things that we approve of. We need to make sure we're not discouraging our brethren. And obviously, we are encouraging one another in our singing. But let's dig a little deeper than that. How about you and I as individuals offering up words of praise to those who are putting forth an effort to serve the Lord, putting forth an effort to live right, or those that we see who are showing improvement in serving the Lord and showing improvement in the way that they are living their lives? We need to be free and genuine with compliments, showing appreciation for those who are doing things, those who are leading us in our worship, those who are willing to teach us new songs, although sometimes we run into some technicalities with that. Those who are willing to develop themselves as song leaders, or to lead us in prayers, or teach us in our Bible classes, deliver invitations on Wednesday night. Those who are very active in inviting others to come to services and very successful in that. Maybe we've tried, we're not very successful. That doesn't mean we need to be jealous of those who are. We need to encourage those who are doing that. And be specific in your praise. Be specific. It's always good to tell someone, hey, you're doing a great job. But be a little bit more specific. You did a great job leading that song. That song's difficult. And you did a great job leading that song. Or reading that scripture. There's some words, there's some names in that passage that are tough, and you handled that great. Be specific in the praise that you give and the compliments that you give. Let's make sure that we are encouraging our young people. Encouraging those who are young parents, who are going through a stage in their life that is very involved and very challenging, and a lot of us have been there. So instead of letting them struggle through it without any help, let's make sure we're encouraging those. I like to encourage parents who are struggling with children and the child has been fussy and hardly heard anything that I've said that day in that sermon. I like to tell them, you keep on bringing them. This is just a phase in life. This isn't going to last forever, but you're doing the right thing. Keep on keeping on. We need to encourage the teenagers. They're facing a lot of challenges. Now, instead of hearing from us, this is nothing. Wait till you become an adult and get in the real world, which is true. Instead of telling that, we need to be sympathetic. They're facing some of these challenges for the first time. They're navigating these waters for the first time. I hear brethren from time to time say things like, why are we losing our young people? Why are we losing our young people? Maybe we've not encouraged them like we could have. Maybe that's something we need to give more attention to. They don't need to be babied, but they do need to be encouraged. College students, going to college, holding down a job, maybe even getting married, all of that at the same time, that's asking a lot. So let's encourage our younger people. And let's encourage those who are older as well. And I'll let you decide if you're older or not. But let's encourage those who are older. They bring with them not just the years of experience and wisdom that goes with that, but many of them have the aches and pains physically that come with advanced age. And they have not just the experience of those years, but they're also carrying with them the heartaches that all those years have piled up. We need to let those who are older know that we appreciate them very much. We appreciate their example. We appreciate their life. We appreciate their service. And instead of coming along and saying, we need to change the way we do things, you know, we need to be careful of that. That can send a message to those who are older, telling them, who cares what you did your entire life? That doesn't matter. We're going to scrape that and we're going to do something new. That's insulting. We need to honor those who are older. We need to encourage those who are older. We need to help all Christians to grow and to be stronger spiritually. We can do this by teaching, the men giving invitations, writing that can be put in the bulletin. But it's not just things that are done publicly. We can offer to study one-on-one with individuals. The older women are to teach the younger. That's not done in a pulpit. That's done one-on-one. Men, we can do that as well. We need to be helping other Christians to grow and to be stronger spiritually. And we need to be taking an interest in those that are often overlooked or left out or discouraged. In the book of Hebrews, at chapter 12 and verse 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, Paul, not Paul that we know of, the writer here, Hebrews is written to Christians, Jewish Christians who are suffering terribly for their faith. They're discouraged. That's the opposite of encourage, right? They're discouraged and they want to quit. Paul, the writer of the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 12 says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. When I read this, I get the image of someone that's just wore out. Well, they're dragging. And from time to time, we see our brethren like that, don't we? We see that they're not quite where they were spiritually. They're dragging under the weight of life. They're dragging under the weight of guilt. They're dragging under the weight of whatever it may be. The Scripture says, strengthen those hands. Go to their side and help them. That's that idea of edification. Build them up. Go to their side and help them. And we need to be ready to do that. But keep in mind, and I had a member here come to me and mention this to me. I'd never thought a lot about it, but it's worth considering. Keeping in mind that some Christians are extroverts, and some Christians are introverts. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. That is, if somebody's upset, then we all need to go to their house, and we all need to go and sit with them, and sing with them, and encourage them. And while some brethren might respond to that favorably to an introvert, there's nothing scarier than that. That's not helping someone who is an introvert. Just knowing that you care. Getting that text or that email. Getting that phone call. Getting that person that comes up to them before or after service and says, hey, I'm praying for you. Is there anything that I can do? That's exactly what they need. When it comes to edifying, when it comes to comforting, we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. It's not one size fits all. And we need to understand that. We need to learn how to interact with each other as individuals within this congregation. And we do that by spending time with each other, getting to know one another, and using our wisdom and our hearts and understanding the best way to approach each and every person. The elders have to do that. The elders have to know the best way to approach every member. We all need to do that. We all need to learn that. If it's an important work that's been given to us by the Lord, then it needs to be done. And if it needs to be done, it needs to be done with zeal, encouraging our brethren, encouraging one another is an important work. We need to be following the example that was set by the early church. We need to be zealous about building up one another and encouraging one another. Send a text. Write a note. Send an email. Give them a call. Shake their hand. Let them know that you're there for them and that you appreciate them. We all need to be involved in this work. We need to be zealous about it as well. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that you've given us this great work of encouraging one another. Thankful knowing that none of us have to make it through this life alone, but that we have each other. Help us to realize the responsibilities that we have toward one another. We're thankful for the example of Barnabas. I pray that you would help us to learn from him and to be a source of comfort and a source of edification to one another. Bless us and forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed to our classes.